You are Locked On LSU, your daily podcast on the LSU Tigers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Okay, let's get it. Locked On LSU, your team every day. I'm Matt Moscona, ESPN Radio Baton Rouge, New Orleans, Alexandria, CST, and right here for the Locked On LSU podcast. We got a lot of football to get to. You'll hear from new defensive coordinator Durante Jones in just a moment. Yesterday, we did talk a bit about tight end Eric Gilbert. Shea Dixon of Go247 was one who had the latest update, and I had the good fortune to talk to Shea about Gilbert, about the latest there. I started by asking Shea, kind of as a recap on the timeline to catch us up to speed.
Yeah, so that was, what, 8 games that he played, and then he opted out of the final couple and returned home. So he really hasn't been back in Baton Rouge for any extended period of time or back with the team since then. So we're looking at, what, 6 months, basically, if not now a little bit more than that. And you knew in the spring, it was clear, you know, a couple of months in, that he was taking time away. He wouldn't be with them during spring ball, all of those things. None of that was ultimately surprising. But I think, really, Matt, we get to this point now, and all, as you noted, kids are reporting for the first time. The return, you know, the team's coming back. Everyone's going through different levels of workouts in football school. And A, you'd obviously want him there. And that would be, you know, make you feel good that he was actually going to stick and be with the team in a year. But also, he's got an academic course load to continue to carry. And, you know, he's gotten beyond the spring and really just needs to focus on the summer right now. But still, that comes with knocking out a couple of courses. And whether that happens, and this is probably a silver lining, at least if you want one, given he's not here right now, you can take your courses in person, online. There's a variety of things, and we've seen it done plenty through the pandemic. So, yeah, the door is still open, right, that he could return and that he could do the things that LSU put in place for him to give him a path to be on the field in the fall. But as we've learned really since December, that there's no guarantee as to what can happen, really, since his recruiting. I mean, you'll remember Bama and Georgia sat there saying, which one of us is going to get him? And out of left field, he's going to LSU.
Right.
So it's always been a bit unpredictable, and it still is right now.
Okay. I've been asked a lot about the fundamentals of him leaving and coming back. Can you explain about him having left, being able to come back and be eligible without needing a waiver or a spot or anything like that?
Well, I'm not privy to everything behind the scenes, and I've been told, and I can't say this factually, but multiple people have said that there was a waiver that academically took place in the spring when you withdraw from school and or whatever you've got, you know, focusing on things away from the classroom, they could get beyond that. But if you're talking about being a student athlete who's working towards eligibility, you know, for the fall, he's got to get at some point back on track academically. So then you've got, like I said, a couple of courses this summer that you would need to knock out, and one of the two summer sessions, which really just means before early August, which kind of lines up right with camp. But beyond that, him committing to, like, going into the portal and committing to Florida, he never enrolled at Florida. He never did anything beyond verbally say, okay, I'm going there. Well, he later retracted that not too far after. So I do believe he's probably, or his camp's probably been feeling out all options, but I do know that LSU's been in daily contact about, hey, look, here is what your path here would be to getting eligible again, even with missing some time since December. And it's not insurmountable. So really the ball's in his court at this point.
Am I oversimplifying it, Shea, by saying, look, if Eric Gilbert gets his academics in order, he's back at LSU this fall?
Yeah, I mean, probably, because I think there's so much more going on to this. I think it would go beyond just the academics, but the academics are certainly a requirement here, right? He's going to have to hit a certain level of credit hours to then be able to load up again in the fall and be playing as an eligible prospect, so, or an eligible student athlete. So, yeah, I think it's probably a bit more than that, but I think that's up there with the most important.
Okay. A couple more for you, and Shea Dixon's with us. Go247. There have also been rumblings about Georgia, maybe Tennessee. He was previously committed to Florida. Do you have any sort of feeling about what direction Gilbert might be leaning and what exactly he is considering?
I mean, not any firsthand knowledge. I think that for him, if his goal is to just get back on the field, that the easiest path for him to have that happen would be at LSU. I think once you do say, okay, I'm going to transfer out and I'm enrolling in this new school and I'm going to go through compliance there, and they're going to have to dig through everything, you're going to go through a bunch more red tape. So if you're looking to get back on the field this fall, in his mind, I think he does see the reality that LSU would be the easiest path. Now, if you're asking me if he's going to like pick another school that's not LSU and try playing there, then my gut would tell, like, I wouldn't name any schools beyond Georgia and Georgia Tech. I mean, I would pick the schools that are right around his mom or right around his family. If he's not leaving there to come to LSU and he still wants to play somewhere, I would guess he's probably staying home and playing somewhere around there or trying to, but I haven't heard anything definitive about that happening. I think that the ship, at least at the moment, is still steered towards LSU.
Shay, is there any precedent at LSU for guys to not be there for summer workouts, to show up later and still be able to play in the fall?
I don't know about summer. Arden Key missed a whole spring once, right? So that would have been similar. Thomas missed like a whole spring and into a summer, and then he was back out there.
Do you remember Rashard Robinson? Wasn't there something similar there, like where he showed up like maybe 2 weeks before the opener against TCU or something like that?
Yeah, I think that's correct. Justin Jefferson showed up about 2 weeks before the opener.
Okay.
And he played in that BYU game. So yeah, there's not precedent like this. I would consider Arden Key to be the most similar in terms of like a really high profile guy who's missing an extended amount of time, and everyone's sort of speculating, hey, is this guy coming back or not?
So Eric Gilbert's future is still up in the air. We know Durante Jones is going to be LSU's defensive coordinator on the field in 2021. You'll hear from him in a moment. We're brought to you by BetOnline.ag. BetOnline.ag, your online sportsbook experts. You want to bet on the 2021 football Tigers? You can do it. Futures odds are already up at BetOnline.ag. NBA playoffs, you can bet on those. The NHL playoffs, every single Major League Baseball game. BetOnline.ag. They are your online sportsbook expert. Desktop or mobile, free to sign up. Safe, secure, fun, easy to use. BetOnline.ag. And remember, when you sign up and make your first deposit of funds, use the code LOCKEDON, one word, LOCKEDON, and get a 50% welcome bonus. That's at BetOnline.ag. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. LSU just wrapped up spring under first-year defensive coordinator Durante Jones. Jones was a guest on the Hey Fightin' podcast with LSU digital media reporter Cody Worsham, and they covered a lot of ground, including Jones sort of recapping his first spring and what he learned about his new defense.
They play with a lot of energy, which is good. And for us, we just wanted to focus on just bringing energy and effort and letting the guys play fast if possible. And I thought the guys was on an upward trend with that. Starting from where we were, they felt comfortable in the system, so that was good. They started to get an understanding of the system and what we're asking them to do and just do it to the highest of your ability and the best of your ability. And we talked about effort. Effort was one of the biggest focal points in the offseason and in spring. And effort, you know, we always say is between you and you. And so just challenging the guys in that way, you know, it may not be right all the time and you're going to make mistakes, but just give great effort. We can fix everything else.
It's interesting how much they simplified in spring. And the biggest problem LSU had last year was not lack of talent defensively. You had Derek Stingley. You had Elias Ricks. You had B.J. Ojulari. You had Jaquelin Roy. You had Glenn Logan. You had Jabril Cox. You had Jacoby Stevens. You had Micah Baskerville, Damone Clark. You had guys, Ollie Gay. I mean, you had talent, way too much talent to be the third worst defense in college football and the worst defense in the history of LSU football. The talent wasn't the problem. It was coordination and effort. That was the problem last year. And that's why you have a new defensive coordinator. That's why you have Durante Jones saying, all we wanted was effort. We can fix everything else. Just give me great effort. Well, it sounds like he got that this spring, which is certainly great to hear. Talked about also what he wants from his defense this year.
Whether it's a 3-4, whether it's a 4-3, you know, for other people who may be listening, we're just going to try to put the best 11 out on the football field. But we're going to be fundamentally and technique sound. We want to be, like we call it, a smart, tough, dependable defense, you know, minimize the error, be on the same page. We want to show some toughness when we're out there. We talk about that violent demeanor. I mean, it's just a violent football game. And so when you look at LSU's defense, things that you want to, we would like for you to pull from after the game is over was, wow, those guys were tough. They were physical. Mm-hmm. They gave great effort. They were fundamentally sound. It's never going to be perfect, right? But it's going to be fundamentally sound. And that ties into the communication. And so those are the things that you would like to pull from.
Fundamentally sound communication. Like, sometimes when you listen to coaches talk, Mike D says this office. Like, they're not going to write your story for you. They're not going to host your show, but they'll tell you what you need to hear if you're listening. Tough, fundamentally sound communication. That's what LSU was missing last year. How many times did you see guys in the secondary running around with their hands in the air, not knowing where to be? They were not fundamentally sound. They didn't communicate. And it showed over and over again last year. That's what he's trying to fix immediately. He's got talent. Just make them fundamentally sound, giving great effort, and communicating. And you're going to be better because you have the talent in place. Now, speaking of the secondary, a guy who did emerge last year who was encouraging to see how much he came along last year in that secondary, especially late in the season, was Dwight McLaughlin. And Durante Jones says that's carrying over.
I was happy for Dwight in terms of watching him from day one to day 15. His mindset kind of changed. Mm-hmm. His approach changed. He was always a competitive guy. But I got so much respect from him watching him at practice. I mean, he may have gotten the most reps out of every corner. So I was really happy for him, and to watch him play in the spring game, to play with such confidence. So I was happy for him that we're in the corners room.
The next of a long line of long corners, big 6'2 guy we saw play inside and out. And especially remember with Jay Ward moving from corner to safety, that's going to give more reps at corner to a guy like Dwight McLaughlin, because you know your boundary corners are set. You know you've got Stingley and Ricks. Those are going to be your boundary corners. But that starting nickelback, Dwight McLaughlin could be that guy. And you're talking about rotational guys that could be out on the boundary. Love to see it, man. So McLaughlin coming along and continuing to build upon what he did last year is great to hear. Jones also talked just fundamentally about sort of the spread offense and how the spread offense is changing the way that teams play defense. It's something we've heard Nick Saban talk a lot about, too, about how the days of allowing 10 points a game, it's over. Like, you've got to be able to score to keep pace, but you've just got to get enough stops in the game to give your offense more. And Durante Jones talked a little bit about how the spread offense is changing defense.
The way the philosophy is impacted by that is what type of player you're recruiting. So the world of the box safeties are kind of no longer. That 270-pound middle linebacker is no longer. Mm-hmm. You know, those guys, they're all going down a level. Mm-hmm. And so that box safety is now becoming what you know as a hybrid backer. You know, that 270-pound is now becoming a DN, mm-hmm. a rush in, or a stand-up guy. And you're getting corners who probably doesn't run as well, and they're smart mm-hmm. to play safeties. It's just the recruiting aspect, the position is changing. The defensive personnel is changing because of such. And you have to have more guys out because everybody's going to go 3 and 4 receivers.
Yep.
You know, whereas you would load up on linebackers for special teams and different places like that. But it's changing the personnel, I would say, across the board. That's why, around 35 to 40 corners are going to get drafted every year.
Certainly a lot of reason for optimism around the 2021 defense. After all, it could not possibly be worse than the worst defense in the history of LSU football. See if these Tigers can get rolling here in 2021. Okay, we will hear from Matthew Beck here momentarily. LSU senior pitcher, looking forward to that conversation as LSU awaits word on a potential postseason destination. Let me remind you about Built Bar and BuiltBar.com, the best tasting protein bar in the world. It's science. BuiltBar.com. Get to the website, order yours today. Remember, Built Bar, high protein, high fiber, low calorie, low sugar, gluten-free, perfect for keto. They have nut and nut-free options. It's Built Bar. A protein bar does not have to taste chalky and hurt your jaw when you chew it. Built Bar is soft, easy to chew. Every Built Bar covered in 100% chocolate, and it's actually good for you. Go to the website and compare the nutrition facts side by side with other popular protein bars, and you will see what I've seen, which is that Built Bar wins every time. BuiltBar.com, BuiltBar.com. The best tasting protein bar in the world is Built Bar. Order yours at BuiltBar.com. Use the code LOCKED15, LOCKED15, that's LOCKED15, to save 15% off at BuiltBar.com. LSU senior pitcher Matthew Beck took advantage of the NCAA allowing seniors to return for an additional year after their seasons were interrupted because of COVID. The season, however, did not go the way that Beck had certainly anticipated. Injury has caused him to be on the shelf for the bulk of this season. But I had the good fortune to talk to Matt Beck, who's always candid and always descriptive in a really fun conversation. And I did ask him if he thought back in hindsight, considering the injury this year and it not going the way that he wanted, if he had any regrets about the decision.
I mean, there's not a doubt in my mind that I made the right one. You know, how it turned out, obviously, wish it would have gone a little different in terms of getting hurt and everything so earlier in the year. But, you know, I was telling Wilson Alexander the other day, you know, I have absolutely no regrets. You know, I tell our guys all the time just to treat every pitch that you get, every at-bat, every ground ball you take in practice, just to treat it like it's your last. So, you know, that's kind of the mentality that I took every time I grabbed a ball. So, you know, when that was the case, I didn't have any regrets, you know, so.
This is a bit of a maybe random one-off, but do you know if, like, you have the possibility to throw again next year? Like, is that – I mean, could you do, like, a medical redshirt type situation?
To be honest with you, I have no clue. That's a question that I'll ask here soon. But if I had to bet, I wouldn't imagine so.
Okay.
Just based off of playing and then playing later in the year when I got the at-bat. So I really have no clue. And, yeah, so.
Do you can you walk us through, like, what actually the injury is that you're dealing with and kind of how it happened? And I think there's a lot of ambiguity for people, too, as to, like, what exactly happened with you.
Yeah, absolutely. So it was the fourth game of the year against ULL when we were playing there at their place. And I can't remember what inning it was, but I was throwing. And, you know, it was if I recall correctly, I got two quick outs. So I was two outs within like five or six pitches or something like that. And I got 1-0 to the third hitter and I threw a curveball and I remember getting it over for a strike. You know, but I also at the same time felt my elbow just tighten up. So, you know, just being in the moment, being adrenaline, full of adrenaline, everything like that, I just considered, you know, I'm a pitch away from being out of this inning and I'll address it when I get back into the dugout. But obviously that wasn't the case, and I ended up walking that guy, and then the following guy ended up getting pulled, and they go back to the dugout, and they asked me if I'm okay, and I was just like, no, my elbow. So obviously we go and we do the MRI, and it reveals a partial tear in my UCL. So I kind of got stem cell shots and everything to that effect, rehabbed, and about 6 to 8 weeks later, I threw a bullpen, and it's kind of the same thing. And just I got about 12 pitches in, and it did the same thing. So did another round of stem cell shots, and I was trying to throw at Auburn. We played Thursday, Friday, Saturday, so it was that Thursday, and I was throwing kind of like a flat ground, if you will. And I just finally felt it give completely. So it ended up popping on me, and so it was kind of where we're at now.
Do you plan to have surgery?
I'm sorry?
Do you plan to have surgery to have Tommy John?
Yeah, I'll eventually have it. You know, I've been kind of telling everybody I'm going to take a month or two and just kind of rehash my career, rehash everything that I've been fortunate to be blessed with and kind of just take a break, to be honest with you, clear the mind. And, you know, I plan on having it during the fall.
Do you want to continue your career professionally if that opportunity presents?
Yeah, I mean, if the opportunity is presented to me, I most certainly will. But, you know, just being realistic at some points in time, you know, I'm a 23-year-old 6'8 guy who throws 88. So,
hey, you know what? You're a unicorn, bro. Like, you got to find those unicorns out there sometimes.
That's it. But, you know, just being realistic, I've kind of come to the realization that it might not be presented to me. So, that's just kind of what I'm dealing with now. And so,
Matt Beck's with us. He's on Twitter at Matt_Beck07. Y'all give him a follow. So, like, I would imagine, so you'll be with the team, obviously, provided a postseason berth comes, and as long as LSU's in the postseason, what would an opportunity for one more run in the postseason mean for you and for this team?
You know, I think, I guess if this is just me advocating for the Tigers, you consider the top 64 teams in the country, you'd have to include LSU, you know, and I can't imagine there's a team out there that's, you know, licking their chops ready to face Landon Marsh, Mikayla Hayter, and A.J. Labus. So, you know, I think if we get the shot, it's just a matter of, you know, us going out and doing the deal. Because I kind of the message throughout the locker room is that we just need a chance. You know, we need you know, wherever it is, whenever it is, whoever it's against, we, you know, we just need a chance, and we're gonna give it all we got.
You know, you mentioned guys like Labus and Hilliard. I mean, you're one of only a few that's actually been able to experience postseason at the box, and then obviously going to Omaha. There was no postseason last year, and well, I guess obviously 2019 was here. But what do you tell those younger guys who've only been here for this year or a couple of years who haven't had a chance to experience postseason about, you know, what that feeling with that opportunity is like? Because, I mean, the season obviously hasn't gone the way many wanted, Matt, and a lot of people look and say, why would this team want to go to the postseason? It hasn't been a great year, and why would they want to travel for a regional? But it's also one of those opportunities that's finite, right? I mean, every college baseball player dreams to get to play in a regional, and this could be an opportunity for this team.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I remember, I forget who I was ever, I think I was behind Dylan Cruz, and we were getting off the bus in Hoover, and, you know, they play a hype video for us after, you know, on the way to the field, wherever we're going. And it was in 2017, a lot of it was, and it kind of just showed us, you know, winning, succeeding, and dogpiling. And I just remember telling him, like, hey, winning's fun, man, especially when you do it in the postseason wearing purple and gold. So, you know, I think that's why we want a chance so bad in the postseason, considering that this year hasn't gone the way that we wanted it to by any stretch of the imagination. You know, and we're human, and we recognize that, and we're just kind of anxious for an opportunity to redeem ourselves in a weird way. So, you know, if that opportunity is presented to us, you know, I can't imagine anybody's looking forward to having LSU in their regional.
All right, about that. You mentioned also McHale. I'd love your thoughts, man. I mean, you've seen him obviously his whole career, and there's been ups and downs there, but man, he has been incredible. Maybe the best month he's had of his entire career. What have you noticed? What's going on there with McHale that he's been able to hit his stride this past month?
You know, I remember McHale saying something when he got his first opportunity to start in a midweek game, I believe it was, and it may have been Grambling, I think is who it was against. He goes, man, I get to settle in when I'm a starter. You know, I'm just more comfortable being there. And, you know, that outing that he had against, like I said, I believe it was Grambling.
It was, yeah.
I mean, just dominated really through three innings, had like five or six strikeouts, and started that next weekend. And, you know, has never really looked back since. You know, he'll be the first to tell you that his year started off kind of the same as a lot of people did in the bullpen, just not really able to ever get comfortable and find a groove. And, you know, I think to say he's done that these past few weeks would be an understatement. He's kind of been the saving grace of our season, to be quite honest with you. So, you know, I'm so excited for him. I'm so happy for him. He's worked so extremely hard, and really it's been paying dividends here lately.
Great convo as always with LSU senior pitcher Matt Beck. That'll do it for us here on the Locked On LSU podcast. If you've not done so yet, please subscribe. And remember, the Locked On Today podcast is there for you as well. Is Nikola Jokic enough for the Nuggets? We'll hear about that and more on the Locked On Today podcast. Get it on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Until Monday, it is Locked On LSU, your team every day.